Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hallelujah. Let's keep blessing him. Let's keep blessing him. That's what we all came for, is to bless him. Hallelujah. 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 Bless God for his presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless God for the Holy Spirit resting with us. Amen. Hallelujah. And I bless God for submission to his spirit. Hallelujah. A time of worship, a time of praise. Hallelujah. A time of humbling ourselves before him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not a small thing. It's not a small thing. God sees these things. You know, a lot of times we talk about God seeing the evil, but God sees when you submit too as well. Hallelujah. God sees when your heart is humble before him. God sees when you're crying out for help. God sees when you sing, God, I need you more than anything else. Amen. 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 I want to just bless the Lord for today. He is worthy of the praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to give honor to my senior pastor, Pastor Lincoln Nelson, and his wonderful wife, Prophetess Narisha Nelson, and their family. We honor them. Amen. For giving me the opportunity to stand before you guys today. Amen. Amen. Just know that if you are here, you are great. And if God has you up under a word that's great, that means that you are great. It has nothing to do with me. Amen. God just uses an available vessel to be able to feed a great people. Amen. So, you know, the kingdom is not about superstars. It's about us coming together and being strengthened one another. Amen. 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 So just look at your neighbor and say, you know, I'm glad to see you today. Glad to see you today. I'm glad to see you. Glad to see you. Amen. 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 After we worship him, we must honor each other. Amen. Come on, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. I have a little bit of work to do. So we got our praise. We got our worship in. So we're going to break open the bread of life. And we're going to go to verse 10. And we're going to see what the Lord has to say to us and what manner he wants to speak to us today. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And we're going to go 10 through 15. And we're actually still talking about paying attention. Amen. Amen. Paying attention. When you have it, say, I got it.
I got it.
Everybody got it? All right. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. So that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, this is about a passionate pursuit. Come on, say it with a little bit more conviction. Neighbor, this is about a passionate pursuit. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As we've been talking about paying attention, you know, sometimes we lose the details when we don't pay attention. Paying attention is anything that we set our mind on and we set our focus on. So paying attention has a lot to do with focus. And a lot of times it's easier to pay attention to those things that we're passionate about, because the things that we're passionate about tend to really grab our attention. They mean more to us, right? But the things that we're not passionate about, then a lot of times those things, they fall to the background, right? So, and a lot of times, even when it comes to God, we're not as passionate about God or even God's agenda or his people the way that we should be. But this is about a passionate pursuit. And one thing I'm learning about the Lord is that he likes us to pursue him. He likes us to go after, to follow. When you go to the disciples, the first thing he told them was, follow me. He didn't ask them. He commanded them, hey, follow me. You're going to learn as you follow. You're going to learn as you follow what I'm doing and actually, come behind me and look at what I'm doing as you pay attention to me. Amen. So when we come to the book of Philippians, we come into a book of joy. This was a church that Paul was really, really happy about. They was a church that pleased him. There was a church that was birthed out of his second missionary journey. When he went on his second missionary journey, when he actually met Timothy, if you know a little bit about scripture, he met Timothy, a young man, and this young man started to travel with him. And as he traveled with him, he circumcised him. He circumcised him, which seemed to be a real intimate thing. This was not his father. He had a father. But they formed a father-son type relationship in ministry. And sometimes we have been passionate sometime about God, or we've been passionate about our money, we've been passionate about other things, but we have to be passionate about relationship with each other. Because the relationship with each other is what brings us into a place many times of covenant and of closeness of what God really wants to do. As he met Paul, Paul pulled this young man into ministry. When he met him, he was just a disciple. When we look later on in scripture, he's getting his own book written to him twice because he's a pastor. He's overseeing. He's being sent to refresh churches. He's being sent to go and do the things that God would have him to do in the name of an apostle. This is a man that would never be forgotten. When we really think about Paul, you can't really forget Timothy. Timothy was really close to him. So, as Timothy, started traveling with him, they went about, and this was his second round of going to the churches. He was going to confirm them and strengthen them. And, a lot of times we do need to be strengthened, right? I know we try to act like we're strong, but it's okay for us to be strengthened. And that strengthening comes from fellowship. That strengthening comes from us getting the word and breaking bread together. Amen? So as he began to go about, and this is where we go into the story in Acts chapter 16. You don't have to go there because it's a long story. But when you get a moment, in your own personal time, when you get some time, go to Acts chapter 16 and begin to read this story as he begins his second missionary journey and how he wanted to go to different places. And the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go. Forbade him from going until in the night. The Bible says he had a vision in the night. We don't know if he was asleep or not. It just could be that it was nighttime. And he had a vision of a man in Macedonia saying, hey, come over here and help us. And God reveals himself and God communicates through dreams, visions, and through his word, right? His word being preached, his word being taught, his word being broken down to us. And a lot of times, even in the night when we kind of got our guard down, God will begin to communicate with us. Now, also, other things can communicate with us as well. You ever had one of those dreams where I don't think that was God? You know what I'm saying? It could have been a very violent dream. And sometimes, and if we really be honest, sometimes it may have been God trying to open up what really was going on in your heart. You know what I'm saying? But you'd have to get up and begin to discern. Now, my thing is, any dream that's opposite of scripture, I'm going to get up and say, no, devil, you a lie. I don't receive that. I'm not doing that. And if this is going on within me, get this out of me. You have a nasty dream, a crazy dream, a violent dream. Come on, you know, can we talk real? You have an adulterous dream. Right? A perverted dream. A same-sex dream. Right? We don't understand, and this is how the enemy becomes sometimes to try to plant a seed. To have you start questioning, is this what's, I don't think like that. And start to confuse you. And as he brings that confusion, then he starts to mess with you a little bit more. So it's his communication. And then you have like vain imagination. Your imagination get dirty. Right? Because you walk into a certain atmosphere, or you got something going on in your heart, or you got something going on, you know, with a relationship or something like that. And that's why it's very important that you watch your relationships. Because it's through relationships that things get transferred. Impartation comes in the midst of relationships. Now, whether you think you're cool or, you know, that person ain't saved or whatever, I'm not saying don't deal with people who are not saved. That's cool. But you do have to watch your relationships. You have to find out, why is this person in my life? See, Paul said, look, if you're going to come with me, one thing I'm going to do is deal with your intimate issues. If you're going to come with me, I'm going to circumcise you. Meaning now, I know one of the most intimate things about you. I know your privates. And since I know your privates, I know you down to what's really going on with you. It was intimacy. He was teaching him intimacy. He was not circumcising him to get him ready as far as just because he needed to be saved. This was how he's supposed to be saved. This was not a step of salvation. This was a step of preparation for ministry. But many times in relationships, we don't want to be circumcised. Right? Meaning you don't want somebody to deal with your flesh that keeps you from being intimate properly. Don't shut down now. We don't have to get quiet. You know, we can contemplate this. Look at yourself. Do you like closeness? He just met this man, Paul. He said, look, you're going to come with me, drop your pants. And let me get this rock or this knife and cause some pain to enter into your life that you got to heal from. That you ain't going to be able to operate for a little while. I'm not talking about operate sexually. I'm talking about operate walking around. You're not going to be able to work good. Because there should be a pain to a certain extent to your flesh in a Christ relationship. If the basis of the relationship is Christ driven. Meaning this is not about us pleasing one another. Oh, Jesus. Okay. All right. All right. We ain't even got into the scripture right now. All right. We ain't even got into the scripture yet. It's okay. Amen. So, but this is why he began to deal with him. And so as they saw this man, he saw this man in the vision. He said, okay, now I know where we're supposed to go. As we go, not let's go to Macedonia. Now, when we go to Macedonia, the main city of Macedonia was Philippi. So this is where we get this church that gets birthed out of him going there and actually getting locked up because he cast a devil out of this woman who had a spirit of divination. She was coming after them saying, these are the people of the Most High God. It sounded like to me she was giving them a compliment. But it was a spirit of witchcraft on this young girl. The Bible says she was a damsel, meaning she was a young girl and she had masters, meaning she was a slave that was being used for the gifting that was in her, or for the spirit, the demon that was in her. So once he said he got enough of it day after day, and he said, by the name of Jesus, I command this spirit of divination to come out of you. And the Bible said the spirit left right then. Because she was a soothsayer. Right? You know people like that, soothsayers. They always got something nice to say. Don't want to offend nobody. Don't want to make nobody mad. You can't tell the person the truth, or you can't tell people truth because you don't want to make them upset. I had to practice, God, take the soothsaying out of my mouth. I don't want to be no soothsayer. If that means I got to make you mad, then I just make you mad. But I'd rather you be mad and we know what truth is, and then we both can respect the truth, than not. Because then if I'm just lying to you and I'm trying to pet your flesh, then that's not going to be good. This is actually witchcraft. If I don't tell you the truth at some point in time, I'm lying to you, meaning I'm manipulating you. This is witchcraft. So when you hold back, and I'm not saying hold back if you're telling the truth and hatred. Hold that. Pray through that. You know what I'm saying? Pray through that, you know. But if you're going to speak the truth in love don't always mean I'm going to make you happy. The truth in love means it may be an uncomfortable conversation. And you may have to tell me something I don't like, and y'all may have to tell you something that you don't like. But can we respect the truth enough to be submitted to the truth? Amen? So he cast the devil out of this girl, and then they said, well, look, the masters looked up and said, man, we can't get paid no more. Because she was accurate. She was accurate enough to get us paid. We got to lock them up. They're causing problems. See, when you really begin to start walking into who God has called you to be, you know, there's going to be some trouble. And this is what many of us run from, because we want everything to be okay. I just want to be okay. I don't want to deal with no ripples. I don't want to deal with no craziness. I don't want to deal with no warfare. I don't want to deal with no demons. You already dealing with all of that. So what's the difference? What's the difference? The difference is now I deal with it because now I am resisting it. I'm going against it. I'm coming against what's coming against me. Right? So we see Paul just walking in just the power of the Holy Ghost, right? They get locked up, and as they get locked up, that's when they have this prayer and praise service at midnight, and the earthquake happens. Earthquake happens, the guard gets saved, his family gets saved, they break out of jail because God broke the jail. See, the thing is, when you're obeying God, can't nothing really hold you. It may feel like it's holding you. It may feel like it's coming against you for a little while. Just get into your prayer and praise. Get into that prayer. See, sometimes that's what the pressure is about, is trying to push you to pray and to praise him. They were sitting in the middle of jail in stocks. And they couldn't move their feet. They said, well, I got a mouth. What I'm going to do, we're going to sing all night. And it don't say they were singing to get free. It was a warfare tactic. You're not going to depress me just because you thought you stopped me. You're not going to hold me back from what I've been doing before I got in this situation. So many of us, we've changed what we've been doing when we get in different situations. We praise him, but then you go through something at home or go through something at the job, and that praise is not the same. But you got to understand, that's when you need a no music praise. Right? You need a no music praise. I don't need no drum. I don't need a keyboard. All I need is my voice. I'm going to lift them up until what's on me begin to break off of me. Until I don't feel depressed no more, until I don't feel heavy no more, until I don't feel lustful no more, until I don't feel prideful no more. Come on now. We know when something on you trying to hold you. Sometimes what's trying to hold you is because what you've been trying to do. You've been trying to move forward. You've been trying to, advance. And as you've been trying to advance, something got to come against you to try to stop you. This is a part of what this is. But just use it as a stepping stone. That's what you use it as. You know what? Right here, I'm about to get stronger. Right here, I'm about to break free. Right here, I'm going to be even more than what I was before I got here. That's the mindset. There is nothing that can stop God doing what he's already planned in your life. The only person that can stop it really is us. That's the only person. So in the spirit of that, this church is known, this epistle is known to be an epistle of joy. As it talks about joy so much. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. If there be any truth, if there be any praise, if there be anything good report, you know, think on these things. He's teaching them different things from chapter to chapter. In the first one, in the chapter, he's talking about rejoicing in tribulation because he actually writes this. He pens this in prison himself. He locked up again. The many times that Paul done got locked up. The many times. I be like, well, God, you know, Paul, like, he didn't care about what he had to go through. He was like, well, Christ done already made this clear for me. My call was to suffer. You're going to suffer many things. That's what he told you. You're going to suffer many things. And immediately after that, they try to kill him. He had to run for his life. He suffered many things, being stoned, bit by snakes, shipwrecked, hungry, tired, sick, getting in prison, going back to where you were stoned to go and go minister to the people who stoned you. He was bad. I think he just had Christ for real. He met him for real. His life did not mean nothing to him. He took that same fire that he was killing Christians with and said, you know what? I'm going to serve Christ with that same fire. So you have to take that same fire that you had in the world, that same, oh, you ain't going to take nothing in the world, that same, oh, I know what to say in the world, that same, you know, I'm not going to just lay down when you was in the world. You have to take that and bring that right on over here to the kingdom. You don't stop being a fighter. You just fight differently. You fight through your weakness. You fight through your submission. You fight through being broken down so Christ can be lifted up. You fight through him getting the glory out of your life. That's how you fight. You fight through not giving up. You fight through going through what he has you to go through without giving up in the middle of it. That's how you fight. That's how you fight. So he was rejoicing in tribulation. He told him in chapter 1, he began to talk about, he said, you know, some of these people, they out here preaching, and some of them are encouraged that, you know, I am locked up. Meaning they was encouraged, they was built up that this man is going through. And because he's going through, I can do it too. But some people was preaching because, you know, to try to make him look bad. Specifically. But he said, you know, it don't matter. Christ still being preached. See, he has such a perspective. We say, well, you know, go shut that person up. They operating in the devil. You know what? If Christ is being preached, just go ahead and let them preach. Let them preach and they go to hell. That's on them. See, Paul didn't care. He said, Christ being preached, don't worry about it. No matter what motive they're doing it in. Because one thing, you know, you ain't going to preach. You're not going to preach Christ but so long until either you're going to be changed or you're going to have to give it up. Because this ain't nothing just to be like, oh, I just want to go and do this. There is a real spiritual war going on and a real resistance and a real warfare that comes with trying to preach Christ. It's not fake. It's not. It ain't made up. So in chapter 2, he begins to talk about living as humble as Christ lived, meaning that you begin to submit as he did. You have that same mindset that he had, that you begin to submit to the place of death, dying to myself. Amen? So when we come to chapter 3, he's talking about Christ being more valuable than anything else. And this has been one of my all-time, I know I say this a lot, but It really is one of my favorite passages of scripture. It really is. It really is. It's one of the first ones that I learned when I got saved. Where he talks about, it has always rang back to me when he talks about everything else is dung in verse 8. You know, when he's saying, you know, even though I was the best, like I was a Pharisee of Pharisees, I was circumcised on the eighth day. In the law, I was blameless, meaning I did it perfectly. What the Bible even say that, you know, you can't be saved by, it was still, he had enough discipline in him that he did it perfectly. He said, you couldn't hold nothing against me, not just the Ten Commandments, the all other 600 commandments. You couldn't hold nothing against Paul. He was dedicated. But he said, even in the midst of all of that, that don't mean nothing for him. See, when he met Christ, he got bankrupt. See, there's still too many other things that's more valuable than Christ to us. Come on. I've been there. Like, you know, sometimes it was my pleasure that was more valuable than Christ. My comfort that was more valuable than Christ. My opinion that was more. See, it wasn't just a car. It wasn't a job. It wasn't like a sum of money. It's most of the time it was me. It was my life that was more valuable than Christ to me. I don't want to give up how I am. I don't want to be changed to the place that I don't recognize me. I don't want to lose my soul to gain it. I don't like these sayings. I don't like these commandments. I don't like having to say, you know what, I don't get a choice. I don't like that. But he said, you know, everything else, that's done, that I may win him. The excellency of his knowledge, meaning getting to know him for real. Amen? So we pick it up here in verse 10. He said, what, that I may know him. This knowing is an intimacy. The Bible talks about knowing, and even in the marriage relationship, how people would know each other. I mean, it was intercourse. It was a sexual intimacy. But this is that particular word actually has some of the same meaning. It is a becoming intimate with Christ. We don't like what it takes sometimes to become intimate with him. Right? We don't like that, you know, certain things have to happen. We have to walk through certain things. That we have to endure certain things to know him. He said, well, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. This power is the word dunamis. I mean, it is really the word for dynamite. It is the power of miracles. It is the power to perform miracles. It is a power that is inherent inside of itself, residing by the virtue of his nature. Meaning it is a power because this is who he is. He is powerful, so therefore that power manifests because this is his nature. So he said, I want to know the power of that resurrection. But the only way for me to know power of resurrection is I got to die first. Because only things are resurrected that dies, right? So there's no reason to be resurrected, not unless you're dead. Meaning the power, the miracle working power, the power of Christ really being manifested in our lives comes as we die to ourselves. This is when you begin to get to know that power for real. Not just a shiver down your spine, not just a being able to dance and shout or, you know, and all that kind of speaking tongues and all that stuff, right? That's a power that's resident on the inside of us, right? But there's a power that comes as you die to your flesh. There was a power that comes as you suffer. When he talks about the fellowship of his sufferings, he's talking about the koinonia. This is the word that means fellowship. It means community, communion, joint participation, and intercourse. So in the midst of this, he's saying, look, this fellowship that He wants to have fellowship with Christ's sufferings. He wants to walk through the things that Christ walked through. And our lives mirror the things that Christ walked through. It mirrors that stuff coming against us, stuff not working out, stuff not the tragedies, the calamity, the suffering, the pain, and all those different types of things. It mirrors that. And this is why fellowship is important. Because it's not just the intimacy with Christ that we need, but this is why the word fellowship, the koinonia, it means community. Christ was the only one that really could do it on his own, in a sense, as far as fulfilling out the walk that he had to fulfill out, but he still didn't do it alone. He still had people coming around him. He still had people that he fellowshiped with, ate with, laughed with. He was quite human. I know that's not the way we paint him all the time, because he was quite, 100% God as well. But he was quite human. He had a good time. He would sit down and eat with people and, talk, have conversations and stuff like that. And this, he understood fellowship is what was strengthening him. But this fellowship is sometimes what's lacking sometimes in our churches is the fellowship. We can come together, praise, worship, and we can lay out, we can get delivered, but it's the fellowship that really brings the life to your walk. Because as you fellowship with his sufferings, you need to know that somebody else is going through that or has gone through that before. Because anytime you start suffering, you start feeling like you're alone. And this is the first step that the enemy takes to try to take you out, to tell you to give up. Right? You ever been there? Like, man, this just ain't worth it. Maybe I can just do this my way. I don't want to do it his way. His way don't work. But it's fellowship that we need, right? It is the fellowship. Even when I began to look up the community, meaning that we are working together. We are family. Do you know that we call each other brother and sister? Do you really look at each other as brother and sister? Or do you just look at that individual as that's the individual. That's it. Right? So how can we be a community or a family that God has bringing together, not unless we begin to receive each other as family? There's a strength that we're lacking at times because of the lack of fellowship. And when I say fellowship, I'm not just talking about just eating together. I'm talking about actually getting on the phone, talking to somebody actually really getting to know you. And not just know you in one time period in your life, but know you through the different seasons of your life. So I said, well, it's communion. It's joint participation. Meaning if we're having community, if we're in fellowship, then we all participate. We participate in one another's lives. This was one of the strengths of the church, of the first century church. I know we talk about the miracles, we talk about deliverance, we talk about all these things. But you know what they did? From day to day, they broke bread together. They met out in houses together. They sat and spent time together. This is how the church was added to daily. It wasn't because people was coming to the church. They was coming to the house to eat. And over a meal or over, some tea or whatever, or over something to drink or over some water, we start talking about Christ and the change that, I'd have made in my life. And would you like to make the same change? Or I've been going through this, man. You've been going through this, man. Like, come on, let's pray just a little bit. And we don't understand because we want to wait until a church performance to a certain extent sometimes to be able to get what God needs from us. And that's not the way that it goes. This is just a part. This gets enhanced as we get closer. He wants to come into a body, not a body part. He wants to come into a body, not just an arm, not just a foot, not just a leg. He's looking for unity. That unity that says, you know what? are you okay today? And that you have enough respect to me and to be able to tell me the truth and say, no, I'm not okay. Can you pray for me with this? Can you talk with me about this? Hey, man, I'm feeling kind of lonely right now. But see, this is what holds us back from fellowship at times, is that we do not want to be honest about our weaknesses. We don't want to be vulnerable. And some of us ain't even been vulnerable with God like that. It's still just a religion. I don't really like religion. I know it sounds weird, I'm in the church. I don't really like religion, though. I love relationship. I love it, right? I'm learning this is what really fuels me. Amen? So it's your brother and your sister beside you. This is not just a person that you dance with, shout with, do all these. No, it's not. This is a person that you intimately love. And you are strongly concerned about. And if your heart is not there, then there is something in your heart that's not right. Because that's not God. We've grown up in a day and time where we don't trust people because people are crazy. This is what we believe. And I do believe some of that too. Because I believe I'm a little crazy too. If I can be honest. Right? I got a little crazy in me too. Everybody does. Care how sane you think you are. I don't care how smart you think you are. There's a little crazy in you. You might just ain't found it yet. And maybe that one relationship ain't did it yet. And maybe that one situation ain't happened yet. But there's some crazy there somewhere. You got a little bit crazy. That was funny. So it also means intercourse. Now, when I begin to look up intercourse, we always think about the sexual part of it. But one of the definitions was an exchange, especially of thoughts or feelings. Intercourse is conversation. That's essentially what it is. That's what he's saying. Look, I exchange my feelings and my thoughts with you. So if we really be honest, and for those that struggle with conversation, you struggle with conversation, but we want physical intercourse. That physical intercourse starts with talking. The more you talk, if I can be honest, the better the physical intercourse is. Right? But in that, what is he saying here? We all need intimacy. We all need it. On different levels. And, we talk about the marriage relationship because this is the only relationship where you can have the physical intercourse and the other, the natural, the speaking, the conversational intercourse, right? But that conversational intercourse is supposed to be holistically with those that we call our brothers and our sisters. So look at your neighbor and say, conversate and communicate. Don't think that you can handle it on your own. And I was having a talk with one of my sons as he's dealing with some things. I'm like, you're becoming a man, and if you repeat the same stupid that I did, and I'm telling you the stupid that I did, then you're choosing to be stupid. But if you don't let me in, you got to let me in to be able to parent you. If you don't let me in, then I can't parent you. Amen? Sometimes we just have to say, you know what? Look, stop shutting everybody out. You're not figuring stuff out by shutting people out. By not talking as much as you need to. Because some things you're going to have to talk out. Simply talk through. But we say, I don't want to keep on saying the same thing. Stop making excuses. Stop it. Say the same thing until it's not the same thing no more. Keep on saying the same thing. Yeah, man, I'm still here. So what are you doing together? See, we don't want that conversation. We don't want that level of intimacy. Just ask us, so what are you doing about this? Because we don't want to say, we don't like that moment of feeling like cheese. When we say, well, I ain't really doing nothing. And then it's the same conversation you done had before. And you still weren't really doing nothing last time. And you're just like, well, I don't want to look stupid. But, you know, stupid is going to happen. It's going to happen. The way we stay away from this is to have a conversation about how to avoid looking stupid. Right? Because stupid happens to everybody. I still do stupid things. And I have brothers in my life, and I have my wife in my life, and I have my sons in my life, and I have parents in my life to be able to help me to stop doing stupid things. Amen? You can't get so grown that you can't be advised. So this is why you got to let people in. You got to stop telling people you're going to call people, and don't never call. And you on the phone all the time. You on the phone. You fellowship with the phone more than you fellowship with people. Your phone know your thoughts, your feelings. You're having intercourse with the phone. Yeah. Facebook, you have intercourse with Facebook, intercourse with social media. These things know your thoughts and your feelings, but when you come to a person, you feel weird. That is a level of perversion here. That I feel more comfortable with something mechanical than something that is real that can actually really help me. It's intercourse. These neighbors say, stop having sex with social media. It's intercourse. That's not what social media is for. Amen. And if you're going to share that with everybody else, make sure you're talking to a person on a regular basis. You know what I'm saying? On a regular basis. We talk one time in 1 month, and then you go 3 months without talking. What kind of sense does this make? Come on now. How many people really in your life? How many? And the people that's in your life that you've let in your life, are they people that you can just control? Meaning, are they people that's not going to really check you? And I know we done heard this for so long, so when you going to change? When? Oh, God, help us all up in here. Help us all. Because there's so many of us that are scared of intimacy. But you want physicality. And that's from married to unmarried. All right. The truth is coming out. It's real. It is real. Because you say, well, I'm going to do all this talking if I ain't going to get nothing out of it. Amen. So we have to make sure that we're having intercourse in the right places, meaning we're having fellowship in the right places. Amen. So he said, well, I want to know the fellowship of your suffering. And this is what was bold about Paul. And I'm like, why would you want to know this? So that I may know you. You know, it sounds real deep, right? It sounds real deep. The power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your sufferings. But Christ died. Do I really want to know that? Christ was rejected. You know what I'm saying? Christ was ran after. Christ was, you know, messed with daily, almost on a daily basis. Chased. Betrayed. I want to know that. You know? He had a reason why. And it's because of what he just said before. He valued Christ more than everything else. And we have to look at that. How much do you really value Christ? We say we're in the church, his church. But how much do we really value him? Is he sidebar? Is he a nice ornament? Decoration? Addition to your life? Or is he life? See, with Paul, he said, no, he is life. In this letter, he was like, I'm struggling to really stay with y'all because I'm ready to die and be with him. His heart was like, I got nothing left in this life. I don't care nothing about this life. The only reason I really might want to stay around is because I love y'all. But I still love him more. He said, well, to live with Christ and to die is gain, meaning he's winning all the time. Right? He always wins when you got a mindset like that. Amen? He said, being made conformable unto his death. And this is what we're supposed to be bearing about in our bodies, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. For some of us, the next death is close relationships. Simply. It is simply somebody getting close to your life to help you. And for you allowing somebody to love you, because it is the depth of the fear that you have that somebody's going to hurt you. It's that death, the death of that rejection that you still deal with. It's the death of that. Being made conformable to his death. Meaning being looking like molded into looking like he died. So you got to put it out of shame. You know what? No, I didn't want to talk to you because I really don't want to be like being close to people because I'm dysfunctional. I don't know how to have intimacy because I'm scared of my own flesh. Because I don't know how to keep my sex life out of all my relationships. It's a real thing. I've been there. Yeah. Sex life was in all my relationships. In my head. I know y'all want to fake, but I ain't the only one up in here. Show length. Vain imagination was all over the place. But it was close relationship that helped me to be loved through that. So I learned what clean love really felt like and looked like. Come on now. So now that I got a better love now. But I had to die to that. Some of us, we don't want to die to that. We say, I'd just rather be alone so I can keep my vain imagination. Because it's happier. You know? I don't want to deal with nobody I can't be with. All right. We're going to come out of there. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He had a focus in mind. A focus in mind was this. I want to make it to the end. When Christ come back for his, I want to be resurrected with him. See, sometimes we lose focus of why we really doing this. It's to be with him. I'm suffering to be with him. I'm going through calamity. I'm going through heartache. I'm going through pain. I'm going through tribulation. I'm going through these trials. I'm going through these disappointments. I'm going through my victories. I'm going through, you know, living on the top of the mountain. I'm going through overcoming. I'm going through all these different things to be with him so I can make it. I'm trying to make it. I'm not just trying to have a Sunday. I'm trying to make it. Sunday is a part of me trying to make it. It's part of me trying to make it. Because some days I might not make it without Sunday. I might not make it without a hug. I might not make it without a word saying me, I can make it. And it trips me out. Sometimes I see stuff on social media that be picking on the church. Because we are, you know, sheep got to be told what to do. Yeah, I ain't got no problem with that. At least I'm following the right one, the one that made me. The universe didn't make me. The universe did not make me, and the universe don't bless me. The universe don't talk to me. Amen? So, yeah, No. Yeah, I don't mind being a sheep. Yeah, I'm a sheep. I'm a son. I'm all them things. And that's fine with me. A servant. And that's fine with me. He said, by any means. He said, look, if any way I'm going to make it through, what is it that you're willing to give up everything for? Is it happiness? Because sometimes we have a passionate pursuit for happiness. You know, like the movie, you know? Pursuit of Happiness. You know, it was a true movie, right? It was a true story. The guy's still alive. But look at the level of sacrifice. We look at those kind of success stories and be like, wow, you put it all on the line. What's keeping us from putting it all on the line for Christ? For some of you already there, you ain't got no other choice. You know ain't no other options. Now it's just you actually just trying to fight you like, okay, this the last sacrifice is me. The last sacrifice is me. The last sacrifice is my opinion and how I feel. The last sacrifice is me. And that's what we, and some of us, that living sacrifice, living as a sacrifice on the altar, dead all the time. I can't respond. I can't say what I want to say. I can't do what I want to do. I can't, some of us are mad at that life. Upset. But that's the last sacrifice. When you get settled with that, you're going to be all right. Then you'll learn the principle of being settled with it over and over and over again, because it keeps on going. It ain't like that, you know, just because you get it in one area, then you're going to have to do it in multiple different areas. And you get it in one season, there's another season where, you know, as he grows you, there is more depth that he requires. And that depth is accompanied by suffering. I know this ain't the gospel that we like to hear, not the good news, right? But this is good news, because you don't suffer without getting rewarded in Christ. Not unless you suffer and you complain the whole time. And you rebel the whole time. Then you can be like the children of Israel, where you just stay in the wilderness till you die. But I decree, I'm not standing in no dry place till I die. We are not standing in no dry place until we die. We're not doing that. We're not going to complain our way into, not walking into what God has promised us. We're not going to do that. We're not going to rebel our way into staying where we at. We're not doing that. We're not a group that's going to do that. We're not going to wait until folk got to die off for us to be able to walk into all of what God has said for our life collectively. We're not that. We're not those people. In Jesus' name. So he said, what, by any means? He said, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. Because see, one thing about Paul, he knew the way y'all going to look at me, y'all going to look at me like I got it. And he said, I don't. I'm still trying to get it. And many theologians said this is one of the last letters that he wrote. He was looking forward to death. And he's still saying, you know, no, and I haven't made it. I'm still trying to get him. I'm still trying to apprehend him. I haven't made it to the place where he's called me to yet. And see, this is when you know you're passionate, because you never get satisfied. It's okay to never be satisfied with God. Are we satisfied? Have you had enough? Have you had enough of this life? That's the question, right? Do you struggle with giving up more than pressing in? Are you struggling not to walk away? It's quiet, boy. It's quiet. That's an eerie silence. The pastor said, there's an eerie silence going on in here. Jesus. It's quiet. I think you might need to call somebody about that this week. call Jesus and call somebody. Don't call Tyrone, though. Yeah. Don't call Tyrone. Don't call Sarah. Don't call Bobby. Don't call none of them. Amen? Amen. Call somebody that's going to help you get to the place where you say, you know what? No, I still want him. It's going to help you to realize that you really don't want to give up. Because it's just a convenient place where we park at because we want a break. See, it's the truth. You don't really want to give up because you don't want your life to change that much. You don't want to have to go through all of what you got to go through for your life to change for you to give up. And you know when you go back to where you was, you know you wasn't really happy. You do understand that. So you just like, man, I just want a break. Well, I just want to do what I want to do. Right? Sometimes we do that. We take a break. We say, okay, the camp is moving. I'm going to catch up with y'all. I'll catch up with y'all. I know what the glory is. I can find it again. And then you realize on that, where the camp at? Where the glory at? That break gets you caught out there where you feel lost now. Like, where everybody at? That's why it ain't good to take a break. Where everybody move, you just got to get up and move. Amen. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He said, I don't have it all together. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't have it all together. I'm sorry to inform you. Just in case you were surprised. Just in case. I just want to make that clear this morning that I really don't have it all together. I might have made up my face. I might have came in here and I'm smiling and I can give everybody a hug. But, you know, I really don't have it all together. There's a whole lot of things I'm trying to figure out. There's a whole lot of things I don't like. There's a whole lot of things. I have a whole lot of pet peeves. I have a whole lot of things that I'm tired of. I'm weary about. There's things I want to complain about. And you say I can't complain. So, I ain't got it all together. I'm not perfect. One thing about Paul's life, his secret, was that he gloried in his tribulations. Yeah. He drew strength from his worst situations. Because he said, this is where God going to show up the most. When you're in the worst situation, when you feel like it can't get no worse than this, I can't deal with nothing else. When you write down, that's when God said, yeah, my strength is being made perfect. Because you can't depend on nothing inside of you. Not an emotion, not a viewpoint. You can't depend on nothing. That's when he gets pleased. He's like, yeah, I can show up now. I can show up now. Because now you know that you're a failure. I can show up now. Many of you know that you can't do it without him. You figure that out, hey. So he said, hey, I'm not perfect. He said, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ. He said, well, I follow after to go after the purpose of why God came after me. He came after me for a reason. God pursued some of us in here. You was running. And he caught you.
And sometimes you be like, God know that run is still in your feet. And he's like, no, you can't outrun me. You can't outrun me. God know how to wait on you, and God know how to apprehend you again. Yeah. It's just like the cops. You know, you ever watch them cop shows or a show, you know, one of the fake shows or something like that? They always catch that person, don't they? Most of the time. They run them down. And if the person don't run them down, somebody else will hit them with the car. Yeah. Because God know how to hurt you. If he got to apprehend you by hurt, he'll apprehend you by hurt. He'll hit you with something big. So, yeah, you thought you could live without me, didn't you? Go sit down somewhere. Go sit down. Let's talk this over. He done it to me a whole lot of time. So you depending on yourself. Let's see where this going to end. Yeah, it's the truth. Yeah, you got to sit back and laugh at yourself at how crazy the decisions you made. Like, I done been on the phone past Lincoln, like, bro, what in the world? Where in the world was I? How in the world? And just bust out laughing, like, this was, I can't even figure this out. But the bottom line was what? I depended on me. But that's the reason why God came after you. Listen to your neighbor say, why God come after you? So this is what he was trying to apprehend. He wanted to know, I want to catch why he caught me. Some of us, we're still trying to figure that out because you say, well, ain't no way that much good is in me. But the Bible says you have a treasure in earthen vessels. Meaning there is treasure down on the inside of you, but it's covered by dirt. So he know that he got to get past the dirt to get to your treasure. And he know how to help us to go through things, that treasure begins to come forth. This is why he came out to you, because you got treasure. But the treasure to you is just normal. It's just how you are. But that's not really normal. It's treasure. And you know it's treasure when you get in conversations with people and they be like, well, how do you do that? And you be like, I don't know. I don't know. Some of us, we've been there where, you know, your answer should have said, you know, it was God. And you be like, I really don't know how I did that. I really don't know why I'm that way. Because we're still trying to figure us out. But see, God already got you figured out. That's why he won't let you go. So he said what? He said, but this is what I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brother, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now he's saying, I'm trying to apprehend this thing, but I don't think that I have. But at least this one thing I can do. This one thing I can do. I can forget those things. Now, this, I'm like, how do you forget? Let's be honest. God made us to remember. He made us to remember. But he said, well, I forget those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Let me get two volunteers. Come on. Oh, come on, Pastor. All right. Let's do this. I'm going to come up here. I want you to hold this, right? No, man of God. I just need you to hold it. This right here is the future. All right? Yeah, that's fine. Now I want you to reach as far out as you can. And reach as far out as you can that way too. Right? So this is where most of us are. We're holding on to this, and it's pulling on us. Now try to get to the future. And we won't just let this go. So it's not so much of you forgetting, it's you letting go what the past was. It's you letting go how the past felt. It's you letting go what the past did for you. It's that. And when you begin to let this go, hold on. Not that it ain't that easy. It ain't that easy. It ain't that easy. Yeah, you were hoping that was real life. When you let this go, that's still a stretching. We done let the past go. Come on. That's still a stretching, right? Stay right down. Yes, keep your feet right down. Because it's not comfortable to try to get this, right? You're not comfortable, are you?
Come back a little bit.
And this is how it seemed like it does, right? All right, take one step. It feel like it take us this long to get just a little close. And then we stretching and it hurts. And then like I can't go back to the past. And then we say, well, you know what? I'm going to take a break. Let me hold over the past again. But we still say, well, I don't want to look crazy. So I'm going to keep on stretching for the future. At least in front of everybody else. And then when we get tired of this and we say, okay, this ain't working. So I'm going to let the past go again. And we start stretching. But now you're further away than when you was because you went back.
All right.
But see, the future is refreshing. And you know you're dry. The future got the well that you need. And you know you need refreshing. New life, fresh water, a fresh walk, a fresh faith. Come on, take one step. So we take that one step and then we start stretching again. It hurts to stretch because what if I don't make it? What if I don't get the future? What if I fail because I'm already off balance doing this stretching? I'm already off balance trying to even get this. I don't even know how to get this. And what I'm trying to get, I'm a little scared of getting because this new water is going to affect my life in ways that I don't understand. This new walk, this new future for me is going to affect me in ways that I might not understand. But I'm stretching for it because the past is not an option no more. The past emotions, the past way of looking at things, my past perceptions, my past way of even viewing things. It's not even, I'm so sick of that. But I'm sick of this being hard too. But I'm going to take one more step. And I'm going to finally get it. So the way that you forget, thank you. The way that you forget, it's by reaching. You got to reach. And you got to reach hard. You got to reach hard. So you forget how that thing affected you. You forget the past and how it held you. Amen. So you forget those things. This is one thing I can do. This is how I keep on moving forward. I reach and I stretch. I get uncomfortable to get to where the next place is because it's not going to be comfortable for me to get there. So I reach to those things to which are before. I'm always looking for what's before me. And I'm not going to let the past hold me. Amen. So he said, well, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This pressing, it means to run swiftly in order to catch a person or a thing. It means to pursue in a hostile manner. Meaning, I'm not trying to make friends while I do this. Right? Meaning I'm not trying to be at peace with everybody. I'm not trying to make it comfortable for everybody, because your stretching may, you know, interfere with somebody else stretching. Meaning it may, you know, sometimes be a little uncomfortable for, you know, multiple people at the same time, but it's okay. Because I'm going after this thing passionately. I'm pursuing it. Like there's something to attain, there's something to win. There's something that I have to begin to walk into. So I press, I run. I do it in a hostile manner. I'm reckless about doing it. Meaning each day it is a part of my focus is to get him some sort of way to make sure that I'm connected to him. Because when you pursue something and you're running after something, you don't really take breaks. Or sometimes that break will mess you up, you'll tighten up, and that stretching hurts even more. So he said, well, I'm pressed toward the mark. It's about hitting the mark. Hitting the mark that was missed by past generations. And for some of us, that mark is, you know, it seems like it's unattainable. It's a distant mark. It looks so far away. Like, can I really get there? Yeah, everybody says they see this, but I really don't believe it. Don't believe it. That's fine. Just stretch forward. Let your works be your belief. You don't have to be fully persuaded. Some of us, we wait until we're fully persuaded. You're not going to be persuaded until you stretch. Until you get into that uncomfortable place where nobody can do this but God. When you get there, then you realize what's really in you. That's the place of purging. That's the place of deliverance. That's the place where you can get prepared for that prize of hitting the mark. Because there is a higher calling for most, all of us in here. There's a higher calling. So why get comfortable where you at? Why? No reason to get comfortable where you at, because we got to go to another place. So look at your neighbor and say, stretch and press. So let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. It's about the mindset. He said, let us therefore as many as be perfect. He just said, no, I'm not perfect. So the way that I'm getting perfected is to change my mindset. No, I'm not perfect. But if anything be otherwise, if there's anything in us that's otherwise minded, God will reveal this thing. As you stretch, this is where the revelation comes. As you begin to press, God will begin to show you the things that are fighting against the mindsets, the attitudes, the emotions, the things that are fighting against you actually hitting that mark. Listen to them and say, you can do this. Come on, tell them what's in there. Encourage your brother and your sister in the Lord and tell them that you can do this. You can do this. Now I want you to tell them again, tell them you will do this. Come on, tell them again, you will do this. You will do this. You will, you will, you will. You will do this. Yes, you will. You're not going to be stuck and die off where you at. We're not going to be that people. We are not that people. We will progress because we're going to stretch. We're going to progress because we are going to press. And we're going to hit the mark. Hallelujah. We're going to hit the mark because we got help to hit the mark. We got each other to hit the mark. We got other people praying for us to help us to hit the mark. We got Christ Jesus interceding for us, for us to be able to hit the mark. He don't want us to fail. That's not his mindset. That's not his purpose. He's not looking to wait to see when you fail to try to get you. He wants you to hit the mark. You got to trust the coach. He know how far to stretch you. Yes, he knows how far to stretch you. When you be like, oh, that's enough. That's enough. Like, you know, that's too far. That's too deep. He knows how far to stretch you. Some of us, we need some deep stretching. Deep. You know, you need somebody to pull, and you begin to get sore in places that you ain't been sore in a while. You know what I'm talking about. Ain't that right, Gene? Yeah, people be out there, the personal trainers, and they begin to stretch you and doing stretches you ain't never seen before. You be like, hold on now. I need you to back off of that. I feel like you about to rip something. But for people that know about the body, they know that you can, it can go further than what you think it can. It can handle more stress than what you think it can. Amen. Come on, everybody, touch your head. You can do your forehead, head, something like that. We're just going to pray over our mindset. All right? And I think we got communion today, so we'll add that in as well. Amen? All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, Father God, for a mindset to stretch. We thank you, God, Father God, that the strongholds in our mind that have held us, the strongholds of fear, shame, defeat, worry, doubt, unbelief, deception, lust, perversion, anything that is in our mind, oh God, that's otherwise than what you want it to be, than what it should be. We pray right now in the name of Jesus collectively that you begin to tear down the strongholds. We thank you that we would not have another mind, but the mind that is in Christ Jesus, we would let it be in us. We'll have a mind to submit, God, even through what's painful, even through what we feel like we're gonna never make it up through, even when it feels like we won't get to the end of it, when we feel like we're about to fail. We thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that we will hit the mark because you said so. We thank you that our press is not in vain, oh God. We thank you, God, that, Father God, our stretch to forget those things which are behind us, oh God. God, Father God, we speak healing to the past in the name of Jesus. The pain of the past, oh God, the pain, oh God, God, Father God, of different thoughts and different things, oh God, the weapons that the enemy uses against our mind to defeat us, to slow us down, to cause us to quit, to make us think that we cannot do it, to condemn us. We thank you right now that those weapons are rendered useless. The weapon that is formed, it will not prosper any longer in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God, Father God, that even the tongue, God, that has risen up even in our minds, oh God, even if it's our own tongue, oh God, God, Father God, even now, God, it is condemned, oh God. We release the power of what things we have thought and said that are opposite to your will. Another mindset begin, God, Father God, to renew our mind, oh God, that we'll desire you, that we'll hunger after you, oh God, that, Father God, that we'll come to you because we need you, and not just need you, but want you. We thank you, God, Father God, for an insatiable hunger for you. A mind, oh God, Father God, to search you out, God, to pursue you passionately. We release disappointments, God, and hurts and pains, oh God, and we stretch towards those things which are before us. We stretch to the future, and we claim that we will obtain the future, God. And when we attain that, God, that would not be enough. We would keep stretching, God, until we hit the mark in the name of Jesus. Until we continuously learn how to hit the mark in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that Father God, you are uniting us to be able to come together and be unified. That when one of us is weak, God, and one of us has a different mind, that even if you don't reveal it to us, that you reveal it to other people to help us. We bind the spirit of fear back to the foot of the cross. The fear of the future, the fear of failure, the fear of new, the fear of not being enough, the fear of repeating same things, God. We thank you, Lord, that fear, the torment of fear, is not in our mind, God, even now in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the torment of fear right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Lord God, we just thank you. We glorify you even now, God, that your love, God, is powerful enough, God, to drive out and cast out the fear. You love us, God, passionately, God, way more than we love ourselves. So Lord God, we just thank you. Let your love flood our hearts, our minds, oh God, that it would drive out all fear, that we'll be secure in your love and secure in your trust, secure, God, in your hands, secure, God, under your wings. In the name of Jesus Christ, we honor you. And Father, even as we begin, God, to get ready to take communion, we pray that you'll wash us and that you will cleanse us and forgive us as a body, that we'll be prepared, oh God. Father God, even now, God, to eat of your body and drink of your blood in the name of Jesus, oh God. We honor you, God. Father God, even now, God, and we pray that you'll forgive us, wash us, cleanse us, that we may be whiter than snow, oh God. Purge us, God, with hyssop, oh God, Father God. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We bless you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah. Now, whatever things may have come up in your mind or whatever things come up in your mind that begin to defeat you, those are the things that I want you to begin to come against. Tear down and not receive them. And ask God how you should be thinking. Amen.